to start the fucking podcast?
Just a sec. I didn't even know you had started it.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the Fox and the Clown podcast. Back here at FNC HQ, a.k.a. Clown Corp.
Clown Corp. Yeah, we're in the Clown Corp. Couple things changed within the year that I was missing from Clown Corp. I don't agree with all the decisions going on here at corporate, but...
Like what?
Well, for one, it's a bit smellier than before. I don't know where...
It's not smellier.
Where have the janitors been?
It's not smellier.
Oh, what do you say, Mizuki? Is it smellier?
It is smellier. It's much smellier.
Damn, bro, you're trying to base boost up the audience. It's smellier, though. I can say it's smellier, and... Another thing that I'm thinking of is, well, another thing, Sky developed a tumor, which I'm not happy about.
I'm not happy about that either.
I don't know what the working conditions have been here, because Sky's one of our top employees. And, we have good healthcare, so I'm sure she's...
She tests all of her products.
She does. what products have we come out with recently? We did have that kind of... Like X-ray kind of glasses, didn't we? Did she test those out?
Yeah, but we like sold them to Apple.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
So all the people who use iPhones are gonna have to deal with that, I suppose.
Did they call it the eyeglasses?
Oh yeah, that's a good name. But yeah. We are back here for Home for Christmas. We'll have a lot. I mean, we're a Christmas podcast. I don't know if you guys know, but we do most of our best work around the holidays. So
today we have Mizuki.
Yes, yeah. I was kind of kidnapped here. Just told I'd be on the podcast.
Is that true?
No, they didn't ask for consent or anything either.
I mean, it was assumed. We assumed that you were consenting because you got in the car on your own.
I got in the car expecting to like go to China Garden, maybe get ice cream.
We did.
By the beach.
We did go to China Garden.
As soon as I get in the car, they just tell me, you got to do the podcast. to do the podcast.
But you consented by getting in the car.
I had no knowledge of this podcast before getting in this car.
It's okay. I mean, you're going to like it. I think you're going to end up enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm sure I'm going to love it.
We need your expertise anyway, because today our main topic of discussion is the new Godzilla movie.
Oh, yeah. As you guys know, I'm number one Godzilla expert around here.
He's a big Godzilla fan, Mizuki is.
Yeah, I don't know any other Godzilla fans in my general circles.
I don't accept that disrespect. I consider myself somewhat of a king of the monsters, if you will.
Yeah, we are sitting in Tyler's room surrounded by his Godzilla memorabilia.
Yeah, I'm holding, as we speak, what is this? Probably like a 6-inch tall Godzilla figurine.
That's an SH Monster Arts. You better be careful.
That is an SH Monster Arts.
So this is like what we need to be... Yeah, this is what we need to be careful by. I actually started calling my cat Godzilla because it's so damn thick, and it looks like Godzilla when it sits up on two legs.
What the fuck?
Yeah, because it's so fat.
Why does it walk around on two legs?
No, it doesn't walk on two legs.
It's like the end of Animal Farm.
You know when you see animals like a dog sitting up, like when you tell it to sit, it'll sit like that, right? Just imagine a dog sitting.
Does that work on cats?
Well, cats sit. You don't necessarily tell them to sit, but they'll just sit, right? So when I see my cat sitting, it reminds me of seeing Godzilla. Because I see those big legs in the back.
Big thighs. Tail.
Yeah, I feel like he's been getting thicker and thicker as the years go on.
He has not stopped.
He hasn't stopped getting thicker. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about Godzilla.
So, yep, we've all seen it.
We've all seen minus one. What are the first thoughts?
So is this spoiler mark right here and onwards, or?
True, yeah. This is going to be spoilers, guys. If you're not, like, if you haven't seen the Godzilla, then you got to watch Minus One,
all
right?
Yeah, first of all, before we spoil anything, I'd say it's worth watching. Like, very worth watching, even if you don't like Godzilla.
It's just a good film. It's one of the better films of the year, and it was a good year for film.
I think this might be the... No, this isn't the only... This is the only movie I saw in theater this year.
Really?
Really?
Well, no, I went actually and saw a superhero.
It was this year?
I think so.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Well, was it? I went and saw, like, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I saw Oppenheimer. I saw The Boy and the Heron. I saw the Super Mario Bros. Movie. I saw a fair few movies in theater, and this was right up there with the best of them. Right up there with Oppenheimer for me.
Yeah, I think I saw every movie you mentioned except for The Boy and the Heron. I have not seen that yet. But initial thoughts, I think we all think pretty positively about this movie.
I cried three times
during three the film. Three times.
Yeah, it's a very sad film. Like if you get your tears jerked easily, they're gonna get really jerked this movie.
Now, what name every instance in which you cried?
So I cried the first time when like he had the kid. We had the baby with him. She wasn't grown up yet, but the kid was like. The baby didn't have the milk or something because their mom wasn't their actual mom. She just picked him up as a kid, and I think like the neighbor, the auntie in the movie was like yelling at him or something, and the baby was sad, and so I started crying. It's like this is fucked up, you know. Oh, I cried four times actually. I cried when he first came back from the war, and then the aunt was like slapping him with a towel and saying like.
Calling him a coward.
Yeah, calling him a coward because he was a kamikaze pilot. He didn't end up killing himself in the kamikaze raids. And then I cried when he went into the movie. He went into the town Ginzo. Was that the name of the neighboring
Ginza?
Yeah, Ginza. Is that the that was the neighboring town that Godzilla. Gaza? Fucking
never mind.
Yeah, don't bring the real world into this. It's already war enough. But yeah, when he went into that neighboring town, and then I guess it's spoilers, right? But his partner got fucking obliterated, like Exodia. But not later. But yeah, at least that's what we think happens. And then I cried then, and then I cried one more time. Oh yeah, because when she didn't come home, and then the kid who's now like kind of grown up into like a toddler starts crying because the mom isn't coming home. They have like the mini funeral with his coworkers.
Yeah.
And then I started crying again.
Damn, this movie got you.
Yeah, man, it got me, man.
It was a sad movie.
It's very sad.
But, I don't really have anything to say other than critiques.
Well, what were the best moments before we get into the critiques?
Obviously, I think the best moment. One thing I will say about this movie is it had the most like aquatic action out of any Godzilla movie that I can remember, other than like that one sequence from Godzilla versus Kong.
There was a lot of aquatic action.
Yes,
there was a fair bit.
Underwater?
Well, you know, on the boats.
Oh,
you
don't really get to see that. I thought you meant like straight up submersed.
No. You don't really get to see, like, from the perspective of the humans that often Godzilla, like, sinking ships. So I think that was, like, the highlight of this movie for me. And then there's that one scene, the atomic breath scene, which is, like, one of the best ones. I don't think it beats the Shin Godzilla breath scene for me, but it's definitely like top three, might be the second best.
I think this is straight up the best Godzilla movie. I don't think the bar first falls that high, but I think it's the best one. Like I don't think in any other Godzilla movie I've ever been like invested in a character's period. And in this movie, I was invested in them, like, to a very high degree. Where sometimes I even forgot Godzilla was supposed to be in the movie. And when he showed up, it really felt like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. It's like a holy shit. Yeah. I think every introduction scene he had was just awesome. I think the best scenes even were like when he throws something from off screen and the characters turn and there's just a ship flying over them in the air.
For me, the best scenes are the scary Godzilla scenes, because usually you're not really scared by a Godzilla movie because you know, oh, it's a giant monster movie, right? But this one was such a people movie that it almost made it scarier, because you believed in the people so much that you believed in Godzilla more, and you were thinking like, holy shit, if Godzilla actually existed, like, it would be insane. Because remember at the beginning when they were on that island in the middle of the Pacific during the war, and he came back and there were all those engineers, right? And then Godzilla was small, but he was like rampaging on the island. The pants-shitting terror that those engineers had, like, one of them was like drooling, like foaming at the mouth, couldn't believe what was going on. Like,
really?
Yeah, like they had a shot of him just like, yeah,
there's some guy.
I don't know. I don't remember this.
Yes, man.
Just some guy just foaming at the mouth. He broke down before he even started smothering
them. The shot wasn't on him. This was when they, after they had shot him and they were all scrambling about, like the shot wasn't focused on him, but there was just a guy who was like, you know, fucking scared shitless. And I was scared shitless at that point. I was like, holy shit, like this isn't even him at his final form, and he's scary as hell, you know? And then when you get into the town and like it looks like a regular day on the train, you know, she's commuting to work and she looks out the window and she just sees that fucking monster in the streets, like that's actually terrifying, you know? And then that music starts coming in. It's like I thought this movie did a good job of, because it suspended your belief with the people characters, it made Godzilla feel more real and more scary than I feel like it had ever really felt for me. That's the thing it did the best, is actually making me scared of Godzilla.
When I first watched this movie, I wasn't sure. I was saying that I think it's a little overhyped, and I still do a little bit, like by like 3% overhyped. But anyways, I watched Shin Godzilla with Tavoy in Discord.
Like recently?
Yeah.
Like very recently.
Yeah, after I saw the movie. And I was rewatching that movie, and I like different aspects about both movies. And my opinion is basically the same as the AVGN review of the movie, because he compared them, because they're very similar movies. They're both like a group of people strategizing to take down Godzilla, and they come up with like a plan. But I think Minus One does beat Shin Godzilla outside of like a few scenes with Godzilla. It's like rewatching Shin Godzilla, it was kind of boring, because you know they're in the conference room discussing, and I'm not the type of person to like rewatch a movie multiple times anyways. I usually watch a movie once and call it a day. And I've seen Shin Godzilla, that was the third time I've watched it. And based off of that, I'll say Minus One is the better, more entertaining movie at the moment.
And the reason also, I mean, they both kind of criticize similar things. I mean, Godzilla, the core concept of Godzilla has always been the same, like the threat of nuclear war, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, these modern Godzilla movies have been also a commentary on the state of like the Japanese government and the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And I think Shin Godzilla did a good job of like illustrating that through the bureaucratic bullshit. Like, you have to go to a meeting to have a meeting about another meeting, you know, and so they're not doing anything about Godzilla.
Yeah, like the whole first encounter with Godzilla, he like gets away because they literally spend like 20 minutes of the movie like discussing, like going back and forth through meeting rooms trying to figure out what to do, and then ultimately they like call off their like attack because there's like one civilian like in the way, and they're like, we can't fire on civilians no matter what. And so Godzilla like runs away into the ocean. He gets away.
Yeah. So that movie did it in that way, with the meetings and stuff, and just showing how slow the Japanese government is.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie kind of did the same thing, but more in an action way. Yeah. Where they were like, we know the government's not going to do shit because they're preoccupied with Russia, or the U.S. and is preoccupied with Russia or whatever. The Japanese government doesn't have its own military right now. So they just lied on the backs of the Navy civilians. And so I thought it was good that they still made that kind of same commentary, but just did it in a way that wasn't going to bore audiences.
Yeah, it was definitely much, much more of a dynamic film than Shin Godzilla.
That was one aspect that I didn't like, because I thought it was kind of unrealistic. The plot point where they didn't want help from, like, the U.S.
I didn't think that was unrealistic at all. I don't see why, like, after World War II, the U.S. would assist them with something that's, like, I don't think they understand the scale of what Godzilla is. I'm sure they just think it's a giant creature.
Yeah. I just feel like other countries would be, like, trying to figure out, like, what the fuck is going on.
I mean, if a giant creature, like, came up on shore today, unlike some other country, you think...
I think they would
You be, like, worried, or you think they'd just kill it?
They would try to kill it.
But also...
That they would be successful in killing it? Or do you think, like... This thing's like a reincarnation of a divine being.
I don't know.
Like that. He kind of is in recent media.
I mean, I think that they were also scared that once they discovered that Godzilla was such a threat that he couldn't be killed with conventional means, I think they didn't want another nuke to be dropped on them.
Definitely not. No. And that was an aspect of Shin Godzilla as well, where they decided the U.S. was going to, like, come in and bomb it, but then, like, the citizens or the government there was like, we can't go through this again.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, what do you guys think about the plan to kill Godzilla in this movie?
I was unsure about it, because I wasn't sure, like, how, like, actually, like, realistic is this plan.
I thought it was fucking awesome. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I thought it made sense. So they're, just for the audience's context, their plan was to put, like, what was it, like, Freon or something?
Yeah, Freon bubbles.
Attach a bunch of, like, canisters of that to Godzilla to make him sink to 1,500 meters depth and have him, like, collapse under the pressure, and then bring him back up to have him inflate under the pressure again. And I loved the plan. I thought it was very creative. I thought it was very cool. My only tiny little gripe about that plan was that he didn't look fucked up enough when he came back up. I kind of wanted
was kind of just like frozen, like calcified.
Almost. No, he was like, he was falling apart, but it wasn't as drastic as I hoped.
Yeah.
But it definitely had an effect on him. And I think if they didn't do that, the kamikaze like scene. So to finish him off wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, I don't think it wouldn't have worked either, but I just wish for my audience indication that he looked a little bit more fucked up. Because before that last attack happened, I wasn't sure how fucked up he was, because he just came up looking like a block.
I think it could have worked. They could have just had like some of his like chest like falling off or something. Maybe flew the plane in there. I didn't like the kamikaze pilot, the plane went in his mouth, and then, like, it blew up, and then he just, like, kind of sank back down slowly like a boss.
He did. Well, he kind of, like, fell apart. He crumbled, right?
I don't remember very well.
He crumbled.
I just remember it was, like, a very slow descent, like you beat a video game boss.
Yeah, he kind of crumbled away like a video game boss or something. We've never seen Godzilla die that way, right? He hasn't, fucking crumbled apart.
Kind of. In, like, the Destroyer movie, you see his, like, skin melting away from his bones and stuff.
Mm. But this one, it was like Medusa turned him to stone and then he got, like, kicked or something.
Yeah.
Like, this one, he really, like, shattered into pieces, which was interesting. I thought the ending was strange.
Okay, there's something I gotta talk about with the ending.
Okay.
First of all, I also thought Noriko should have been more fucked up, because they just slapped an eye patch on her.
Yeah, said, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, she survived. Scene. I think she should have been really fucked up.
But okay, no, go ahead. I'll
just, and then this other thing. When I watched the movie with Graham, he said, what was up with that Godzilla fucking legion on her neck, and I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it?
I didn't see it. Oh, and wow. Apparently, did you see it, Tyler?
Yeah.
The person I was with, along with Grim, also didn't see it.
What the fuck?
So, I wasn't sure what to believe, so I kept trying to look up a picture of it online, and I could never find it.
And
sweet.
I also listened to the TFS review of this movie and didn't mention it either.
What the hell?
So you guys for sure saw
it's
it?
Yes, real. Yes, it's yes, real.
It's real, bro. Because she bends over like she's hugging them, and you see that thing creeping up on her neck.
I thought
like
that was her... I thought I saw her hair like on her neck, and it looked weird, but...
It was kind of dark.
I didn't see like straight up something horrific.
But I assume that's how she recovered. She became mutated with some of Godzilla or something. Because, like, how else do you survive the fucking blast and then get shot back through the reverse blast?
I find it possible that someone could survive that. I mean, there are survivors of the actual nuclear explosion.
But this was from fucking point blank, you know?
Point blank.
But basically, on the scale of the blast, it was basically point blank. Where
there was buildings, like, around, you know, kind of... stuffing out the
no, but she was in the suction. Damn streets, though. She was in the streets. She got thrown back like fucking insane force.
I only remember her getting thrown back.
You saw all the debris going into the streets, right? Yeah. And then you saw it coming back. So she got blown back.
I don't remember that. I just know she got blown away.
I do think it's possible she could live, but I think she would have been way more fucked up.
Yeah,
she
should have had like an arm or
no, no, like imagine she would have died, bro.
I think she could have. Because imagine you just get taken for a ride.
Listen, she's already like she already. I don't think it's unrealistic for her to survive. In this movie about Godzilla, when there were survivors.
I think she could have survived, and she obviously survived, but the only reason she's patched up the way she is,
yeah.
is because she, I bet she got infected with some, like, radiation Godzilla thing, and now she's gonna become, like, a mini
that scene,
fucking creature.
I like that scene, but... I felt like there should have been more gore in that scene, like more bodies like torn to shreds in the
Ginza scene.
Yeah, when she gets like blown away, like the guy, the main character, like crawls out of the alley and he's like looking around. There's no bodies in sight.
They all did just get like
they all got
cleaned.
They got
flung.
Yeah, I wanted to see like dead people like scattered.
Yeah, I would have wanted to see that too. But I
wish they would have panned to the end. And you just saw a mound of fucking bodies from like the whole blast.
Yeah,
you know?
I think something horrific like that would have enhanced my experience, but I don't think it was necessary either.
I do want to talk about the ending scene again and like their plan to kill Godzilla. I wasn't sure about this plan because I didn't know like how realistically viable it would be. Like, is this even a thing that would happen to a real creature?
Oh yeah, definitely.
But after rewatching Shin Godzilla, that plan in that movie is fucking wild.
Like it's just straight up a sci-fi plan.
They
right?
have like trains like going around the city, like blowing up and launching the trains into the air at him. It's ridiculous in comparison.
Were they
man.
Like and they injecting just... him with like liquid nitrogen?
They collapsed buildings on him to knock him down, and when he was like beneath all the rubble. His mouth was hanging up, and then they had like weird little like extender arms.
They put coagulants in his blood to make it like you know how when a snake bites you, your blood just becomes thick. I think that's what they did to Godzilla. They just made his blood stop, basically.
And yeah. I could be remembering wrong. Since he like adapts to anything or whatever, he just like froze. He's like a nuclear power plant or something.
Yeah,
that's how he coped.
Yeah, he like froze up or something.
But then there were those. I mean, now we're shifting to Shin Godzilla, but like there were those weird fucking like Godzilla people coming out of his den.
Yeah, we don't talk about this.
What happened with that?
They canceled the second movie. We don't talk about that.
Okay, because that was gonna be like nightmare.
That
fuel.
Was actually awesome.
Yeah, I do like that more than like the weird like thing on that woman's neck.
Yeah, that was actually like out of pocket. the tail, the Shin Godzilla ending is actually completely out of pocket.
that leaves you with such a strange expectation for the next film. Like, is it going to be like fucking little people Godzilla running around?
Yeah, see, they were like, have you seen the concept art for the second one?
No, man. But one thing I liked about this one is from the new Godzilla movie, from a film perspective, I thought it was so good. From like, because you mentioned when he came out from the rubble, like those two buildings, and there was no one on the streets, You wish you had saw a bit more damage. I'm actually so happy.
Specifically like bodies.
Yeah, specifically bodies. I'm so happy that street was barren and just him. Because it showed he was truly alone. Tragedy struck again. Everything again had been taken from him. The day after he thought he had a chance at rebuilding his life, and then boom, that shit happens. I thought that was a great image to show. Him crawling out and nothing around him. He just stands up and looks at this monster that's been torturing him his whole life. And he just cries, you know?
No, he screams. He has one of the like most gut-wrenching screams I've ever seen.
That scene to me was, I mean, artistically, that was super good. And I thought, from an artistic point of view, like, this idea of someone, like, his post-traumatic war, like, thinking about, not only is he traumatized, like, spiritually by the fact that he should have died in a kamikaze attack, but he didn't, and he has to cope with that cowardice for the rest of his life. And real people are cowards, you know, that, if anyone's put into that position, they're not going to want to kill themselves, you know, that's a crazy thing to do. And Japan was just a crazy country, and the people of Japan a little bit are crazy for having that sense of honor, but like, that's a normal thing to run away from that. And then not only is he like psychologically tortured by the war, but he's also now physically tortured by the war from like Godzilla, this like real life threat that has been like following him around in his life.
Yeah,
so for me, that was a crazy, just those scenes where you see him so isolated and just the monster there, like at the beginning with the, you know, the warships, or not the warships, the fucking island where he was supposed to shoot at him, to the middle there, to even the end when he's basically, you just see the shot of Godzilla with the plane sticking out of his mouth. It's like he finally was able to kind of put that to rest there. But it was just him and the monster at the end of the day.
This movie just made me realize like how trash the human characters are in the other movies. Like I can't even pick out a single like thing. I don't remember anything about those characters.
In every Godzilla movie ever, just Shin Godzilla.
Well, I actually do. I'm not talking about the show. I'm talking about the legendary movie specifically.
Oh, it's literally, I think it's literally just Millie Bobby Brown.
I know Bryan Cranston. He's the only one.
But he's only there for the first part of the first movie.
Yeah. It's like pretty,
and then he gets freaking toasted, right?
Yeah, Millie Bobby Brown and Bryan Cranston are the only ones. I don't know anything about their characters. I remember like specific scenes with them, and like I guess the vibe that they gave off.
Yeah,
I don't know where their arc was.
Every interesting character in the legendary movies has been completely wasted. And by interesting characters, I mean, there are two that come in my head, and I think it's just how legendary these actors are. There's Bryan Cranston, Tywin Lannister.
Is that the Asian guy?
Bryan Cranston.
Tywin Lannister.
Tywin Lannister is the eco-terrorist leader.
What?
He's like in two scenes in King of the Monsters. He's in the post-credit scene.
Remind me who Tywin Lannister is again.
He's Tyrion's father.
He's in that movie?
Yes.
But okay. They also had Ken Watanabe, who actually had kind of a character.
I remember Ken Watanabe.
He had kind of one where he sacrificed himself to like save Godzilla or something in the end.
But right?
I don't remember.
I didn't find him interesting.
It wasn't interesting, but at least I'm saying that's one that I kind of remember. You know, at least he had that moment. Whereas in this movie, you have characters, you know, you have fully fleshed out characters. You have interesting characters with like interesting motivations.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I don't know. This movie was just good. Great. I mean, Godzilla is a symbol in and of itself, but I thought the symbolism in this movie was pretty good as well.
Do you know what the title means? I had no idea what the title meant until like pretty far after I watched the movie.
I was debating on what minus one meant, because I was leaving the theater and I was thinking with two of my other friends, what does minus one mean?
Yeah, the entire movie I was thinking about what it...
Did you ever find out?
I did find out, but I thought it'd be revealed to me why it's called Minus One, but so it's not quite apparent.
I have two theories. This is what we came up with as we were leaving the theater. Minus One is the easy thing to think first is if it's going to be like a prequel to a different movie, then that could be like the next Godzilla could be the real Godzilla, and this is like the Minus One.
Just a prequel.
And the other one we were thinking is because it's a post-war movie and they were already on starting from square zero, right? They were already fucking decimated. And then Godzilla comes in as a second disaster and puts him back again. That it's like kind of like you're less than.
Yes.
You're less than even the base
line that, of human. That latter one is, it's pretty much it.
Okay.
Like there's like a special scale they used in terms of disaster. And after like the nuclear disaster, Japan was on zero. They're at the base floor. They couldn't go lower. And then in this movie, Godzilla hits. And it brings them to minus one.
I thought another interesting thing about this year in cinema, it was a good year for World War II movies.
Oh, I do have... I think we've been pretty agreeable in all our opinions so far. But I think my hotter opinion is that I think this movie is much better than Oppenheimer.
Than Oppenheimer?
Yeah. That movie sucked.
That movie did suck. I liked Oppenheimer.
I liked Oppenheimer too, but I didn't really like Oppenheimer that much.
It really did move me, honestly. It was 3 hours, right?
It was 3 hours.
Because I honestly could... I was confused whether it was 2 or 3 hours because it didn't feel like 3 hours to me. It was for me. I really enjoyed the movie. I like them both, but it would be hard for me to put Godzilla above Oppenheimer without watching them again.
Okay, then how about this? What do you feel like? Which scene did you like better, the Oppenheimer bomb test scene or the Ginza scene?
The bomb scene itself, maybe I don't care for, but the build-up, I would say the build-up to the bomb and the bomb scene compared to Ginza is probably similar in my head. Because that whole build-up to the bomb where they're doing the countdown, it's raining, it's so suspenseful, and they have to, like, go through all the checks, and they don't know if it's going to work, and all this stuff, like, all that tension is suddenly released when the bomb goes off, and you literally feel your body like sinking down back into the chair because you built up all this like tension from watching all, you know, the suspense. So for me, I remember that sensation of sinking back into the chair, being like, "Wow, I had so much, like, you know,
I did not have that feeling.
I had that feeling.
I think it's partly because this is unfair to the movie. But in real life, I know.
You know that the bomb goes off.
Like, the bomb goes off and is successful. I think the huge point of drama was, like, they don't know if they could, like, ignite the atmosphere or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was very stressful for the characters in the movie. But to me, it was just seeing the bomb going off. And it wasn't as awesome as the Ginza scene.
I mean, I would say, if I'm talking about, like, I mean, movies are weird, right? Because there's that aspect of art to it. So you have to ask yourself, like, is this on two scales? On one scale is, like, watching a movie for just pure enjoyment. And on the other scale is, what movie am I going to think about more in the future? What movie is going to keep me up at night? Like, just, like, thinking about those scenes, the way it made me feel, and what is, you know, like, What does everything kind of mean from an artistic point of view? And so from the point of just sheer enjoyment, like, oh, I want to see a movie, I'm going to enjoy it, and it's a good movie, I would probably go Godzilla, actually. But yeah. From a movie that's like Academy Award bait, like, oh, I mean, not bait, just deserves an Academy Award, and like, oh, this is a movie. I thought about that movie like 2-3 days after I watched it, you know? And so that, from that perspective, Oppenheimer, for me, was more of a... like, the gift that keeps giving. Whereas Godzilla is like, I'm going to enjoy the shit out of it while I'm watching it, and I'm going to get some one or two
really,
of those
days, I definitely but... think more about Godzilla in both of those aspects more than Oppenheimer.
So
I think it's because this Godzilla also has, like, pretty strong emotional messages too. Mm-hmm. And nothing with Oppenheimer really stuck with me at all.
So for you then, for sure, Godzilla is the movie that you enjoy more and is a better movie in your eyes. For me, I mean, now we're switching to Oppenheimer, but just to give an example of one of the scenes that really haunted me in Oppenheimer is when the girl character died, who he was, like, cheating on his wife on, and his wife finds him in the forest curled up and, like, slaps the shit out of him, remember? Yeah. And says, like, you, like, fucked up or something, or, like, you did, like, you had your choice or whatever. So get on up.
You had your chance.
And other people, like, you can't make other people suffer for this. Like, to me, I thought about that scene forever. Because at first when I watched the movie, I was like, damn, she's fucking cold. But then as I was thinking about it leaving the theater and the next day, I was like, no, that's something you would only do if you really loved someone. You know? To, like, say, you cheated on me. I know you cheated on me. Now you're mourning the loss of someone. But you need to get up. And you need to be strong because other people are depending on you. Like, the kids that they're looking after and stuff. And I was like, no, she loved him. And that was, like, she told him what he needed to hear in that moment. And so I thought about that and, like, what relationships meant for those people who are just focusing on their career and stuff like that. I thought it had a lot for people to think about. And that was just one aspect. The relationship aspect. There was also the actual, like, ethics of war and science and pushing the envelope and things like that.
Yeah, I know I'm gonna get called out on this, but but I have to give fair warning. When I watched this movie, I did fall asleep for 10 minutes,
and that's okay. That's wait, okay. It's movie. A 3-hour movie.
Oppenheimer. Okay. I so can't. Maybe it's not giving it quite a fair shot, but I really think that movie's.
And I missed the montage sequence of them building the bomb.
It's a little hard to follow.
And that's all right.
Yeah.
It does jump around a lot, too. But that's not, getting back to the Godzilla thing, that's not taking away from Godzilla. For me, I would probably rate it like a 9 out of 10 movie.
What do you think about Oppenheimer,
Tyler? I never saw it.
I thought you said you saw it.
No. But I watched reviews on it, and they just said that it was... boring.
Yeah, me too. I feel those reviews, whoever you're talking about.
What do y'all think about, I guess this is the last thing that we'll discuss, but what do y'all think about the design of Godzilla in this movie?
It was really scary. It was very good. Scary? Very good.
Oh, man. When the scenes when they're dropping the mines in the ocean,
yes,
and
yes.
He's swimming after them. And yeah. You see that shit, and yeah. that scared the piss out of me, because we always see all of, like, or we see, like, Godzilla destroying ships, we see stuff like that. You never see him swimming like that with, like, a tiny, yeah. Like, fucking dredge-ass ship.
He also, like...
That was the scene you were most hyped for, too.
Yeah, I love that scene. I do have a gripe with that scene, in that when he's, like, chasing them in the boat, and he's got his, like, mouth open, and the mine is in there. I thought that scene lasted a little too long. It was like in a video game where you keep missing the quick time event, and it just, like, replays over and over.
Really? It was only 2 mines.
Well, I'm talking about that one scene where it's, like, caught in his mouth, and you're, like,
trying to shoot it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like, I don't know. they should have made it more dramatic in a little bit.
I liked that. I actually liked it because, like, I mean, you see the people fumbling around on the ship. They're scared shitless, you know? And then, like, I feel like when he had the mine in his mouth, it almost reminded me, and I don't know if it was a miniature or not, but it almost reminded me of that, of, like, a practical effect instead of a special effect. And so it made me think about the filmmaking a little bit, but it still looked good as well.
Yeah, do you know how much this movie costs?
No.
That's definitely, like, a huge part of this movie.
I don't know how much it costs, and I don't know how much of it was practical versus special.
I think it was
if you look it up, the number is $15 million. But I think in an interview with the director, he says, "I wish it was that much," which is $15 million is like very low for like definitely extremely low for a blockbuster movie. I think it's incredible what they got out of it.
Yeah.
So let's say if he says, "I wish it was that much," then let's say it was like $30 million, like double that, right?
No, no, it was lower. Probably lower than 50.
He wishes it was 50.
He wishes it was lower.
Okay, wow, that's incredible then.
I wish it was that much, yeah.
Because I was going to say, even if it was 50 million, it would have been a smashing success, right?
Yeah, it's a huge success, especially, it's actually more successful in the West than it is in Japan. Which
Is that why they keep extending it?
Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened with a Godzilla movie, or I think any live action Japanese film.
That is pretty good.
So this is a landmark in a few cases.
Because yeah, I would have, if you were to ask me, I would have said put it at like 100 million or something. I mean, just watching it, you know, I mean, it looks like they spared. No, like they didn't cut corners when you're watching the movie. You don't think like, oh, they cut corners here or there.
No, I didn't feel cheaped out at all. I actually felt like these scenes were almost breathtaking.
Yeah.
Some of the like impactful ones.
So I like, as far as the design goes, I like the design for the most part. I like that they gave him like those like undulating dorsal fins, dorsal plates.
the ones where they charge up, they shink.
I still think Shin Godzilla is my favorite design, but what I want to see, I don't want any more like reboots for a while. I want him to stick with like one Godzilla.
True.
I think I want one more reboot.
You want one more reboot?
The fuck, man.
We had two reboots back to back.
I think this this one is like, it feels very standalone. I don't want them to. Does. I don't think they should have a sequel to this.
But if they have, he's alive, though. I mean, like, you see him. I think
they should have a lineage, a cinematic universe of movies that isn't legendary of him fighting monsters. I think that'd be cool. Like a Japanese version of it. Because I think the legendary one is very, like, it tastes very Hollywood.
I want more Japanese like new kaiju designs.
Yeah, I do too.
Even if they are like remakes, at least it'd be like new interpretations in some way, probably.
Yeah. But the design of this Godzilla, I think I really like it. I think
it's a good design.
My favorite Godzilla designs are the ones that
universe.
Yeah. That feel like very organic.
Yeah.
Organic, like a actual creature.
One thing is, I was wondering how he got so thick, like in the leg department, and then I remembered he can just like doggy paddle in the deep ocean because he looks like he's just standing there.
You think he's going leg day every day?
I think he's doing this in the water because he's got big feet too, right? In the movie, they make a note like how big his feet are because sometimes they show him stomping on something and they show his feet in comparison to his body, huge feet. So I thought the design was interesting that they chose to make his feet and his legs so big. But then it makes sense because he's aquatic, so he has to be able to swim. And he's not swimming with those arms. Because his arms are just like this, basically, the whole movie. 90 degrees is what I'm doing right now.
Well, so, what I thought was that my interpretation of Godzilla was like he was just like this local legend lurking around on an island.
He was a local legend.
And then he got hit with like a nuke or a bomb or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. They cut to
and
the...
then he mutated like that.
Yeah, that is exactly what happened.
Because he wasn't walking like upright. He was kind of hunched over or something. Creeping.
He looked more like a dino at the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm glad how fast that like explanation like passed by.
It kind of fucked me up because I wasn't sure. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
It was literally just like one day they cut to Bikini Atoll. They show the footage of the nuclear explosion going off, and then they just immediately cut to Godzilla waking up in that explosion. And next time we see him, he's like really divine.
It threw me off that he already existed and that he was just a cryptid.
Well, I mean, isn't that how he is in like all the lore? Except for like legendary,
kinda, but you don't really ever see him before he's Godzilla, except for in King Ghidorah when he's like the fucking
Godzilla Jr.
The weird T Rex thing.
What would they call it?
Godzillasaurus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that when they went back in time or something?
They time travel.
But anyway, So, kind of wrapping up our thoughts on the movie, I really have almost no complaints except for the ending, because I don't know, like, it did leave kind of a weird taste in my mouth that he just crumbled away, and then I thought for sure that he was going to wake up from a dream. Like, I predicted the ejector seat thing, like, way out when he got the guy to fix the ship, because I knew, like, oh yeah, like, they foreshadowed it by saying that the country hasn't done anything to keep its people safe with no ejector seats.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So I knew that was going to happen.
They also foreshadowed it by saying none of the Japanese, like, planes had it in. The mm-hmm. plane they use was German.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I knew that he was going to be saved, but I thought that for some reason, and I'm glad they didn't do this, I thought he was going to wake up at the end after seeing his happy wife, you know? Because the whole room was super white. It looked like he was in heaven almost. Like, it didn't look like he was in the real world. And so I thought he was going to wake up and he was going to be, like, getting ready to pull the switch again in the plane. But that didn't happen, which is good. But I still wasn't sure about the ending because, like, he ends up in this picturesque town. He's like, with seeing his wife, he's, like, the hero. And then Godzilla just crumbles. And I don't know. I thought it was a triumph for the people. But at the same time, I was like, they really took down Godzilla on their first attempt, their first real attempt as civilians. Like, sure, the military had their goes with them, but they really just...
Scott, they got that Hakase on their hey, side, though.
Don't do that. Really done.
I mean, they had the guy, they had that nerd.
To be fair, they did fail. Their plan did fail.
Yeah, they had to use the backup, which is true. And then they had to get the kamikaze in. But still, like, I don't know. It seemed all a bit too happy ending to me.
I do think the main character for this movie did earn it.
He did earn it. True. If it was a real tragedy, then he would have, like, something bad would have happened in the end. But it's not a real tragedy. It's just a regular movie, and it's a good movie. So maybe I shouldn't be so hard on it in that aspect, but...
Yeah, my critiques are very just minor, like... Very, like, microscopic in the grand scheme of things. So, I'll give it like a 9 point. I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Okay.
Sounds okay, good. Well, fuck both of y'all.
Yeah. Well, I already said 9 out of 10 earlier when we were talking about it. So what do you give it, Ezekiel? I don't think you ever gave a specific number.
I think it's an 8. 8 to 9.
8 to 9? You wouldn't give it
a 9? You were hyping it up more than me.
Yeah. I think it's still really shin-filled. 8 is really good.
It is
In terms good. Of Godzilla movies, like isolated to Godzilla movies, I think it's a 10.
Well,
true.
It's
But max. In terms of like all... like
So what's a 10 out of 10 movie? Because now if someone asked me that question, what's a 10 out of 10 movie, I don't know what I would say.
Yeah, I think... It's reserved for very special movies.
I think a 10 out of 10 is most of the time like an individual rating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 9 out of 10 is like a like very highest class of art. And then 10 out of 10 is that plus a very personal experience in the movie.
Because I would almost put Oppie up there at 10 out of 10.
You have a kawaii name for him.
I would always put Oppie up there, and then Godzilla 9 out of 10, Oppie 10 out of 10. But then again, it's like I'm willing to give that 10 out of 10 probably to more movies than most people would.
Yeah, no, I don't usually have 10 out of 10s. Eight is really good. I think 8's really good.
Alright, well, that was our review on Shin...
On
Oppie.
Shin Oppie.
And thanks for listening to the pod.
Yep, I have yourself a good one.